Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Amen, amen. This is something that's been on my heart for a long time. And, you know, I started writing down a few notes a few months ago. And so finally, I just felt Holy Spirit say, hey, you need to share this. You don't need to be keeping this to yourself, you know. And I recently heard a message about, you know, sometimes we just stay in our own little bubble, and we just, you know, we have a revival in our own little bubble and peace in our own little bubble, and we don't share it with others. And I just feel like this is a time that Holy Spirit said it's time to release this word. And thankfully, you know, my husband loves me and trusts me, and he trusts Holy Spirit within me. And so he has allowed me to share with you guys, and he has released me to share with you what God has placed in my heart. And so I've entitled this The Pathway to Peace, because today is a day where we're living in where there is a lot of confusion. There's a lot of mystery as far as what is God doing, what is happening in the world. Does anybody watch the news anymore? I watch one program a week. I watch Flashpoint. And if you know what Flashpoint is, you know, that's on the Victory Channel. And I watch the replay of it on Wednesday morning. So I watched it this morning while I was getting ready for work. Listened to it while I was getting ready for work. And that's about all the news that I need, because what they do is they tell you what the news is, and they tell you how to pray for that, and they pray for our nation. And, you know, that don't lose hope, that God is in control. And so that's about the only news that I listen to anymore. Because why? Because you listen to the news for very long, you're going to be full of fear and anxiety and worry and wonder. And, you know, it's like, okay, is the economy going to last one more day? And, you know, now there's the kids, you know, I teach high school. And the kids are like, well, do you think we're going to go into a nuclear war? And do you think, you know, what do you think's going to happen, you know? And sometimes I just ought to look at them and say, God's got it under control. You know, I am a teacher in a public high school, but it's like sometimes you just got to say, God's got it under control. And they know me. And so today I wanted to start with this series of lessons on the pathway to peace. And so we're living in a time where we as believers are being challenged, and we are in a fight for the very soul of our nation. We're being challenged to make a stand for Christ in a lot of areas where we didn't think that we needed to. Places like schools, libraries, and in some cases even churches are being challenged down to the moral fiber in which they have been functioning for years. Dutch Sheets, in a recent Give Him 15 post, stated, America is diseased on the inside. More of our kids will die today of overdose. Others will be killed in gang-related violence. Still others will take their own lives. No human can fix us. Only God, through a spiritual awakening, can heal America. Amen. Let's say that again. Only God, through a spiritual awakening, can heal America. The happenings of today can make us wonder where God is in the midst of the turmoil. What can we as believers do to fight the good fight of faith that we are called to? We find ourselves in an emotional state of questioning, which can lead to anxiety, worry, and losing our peace. Now more than ever, it is the time for believers to get a full understanding of God's authority and how to function under it. And part of that authority comes from analyzing or rightly dividing God's word and being able to apply it to our lives. The pathway to peace comes from reading God's word and from a disciplined prayer life. And we're learning about the rightly dividing the word of truth through my husband's messages, you know, through Romans and what he's been sharing. And the revelation that God has been bringing on Sunday mornings has just been phenomenal. And to the point where it's like, we go home and we drive in the car and he's like, oh my gosh, God is just revealing this to us, you know? And so this is a time when we need to understand, we need to take the word of God and dive in even deeper. And so where I want to start today is I want to start with a portion of scripture that I have been meditating on for literally 8 years. I'm actually my whole life, but seriously really meditating for a very long time now. And that's Philippians 4, 6 through 6 and 7. Now, I grew up learning this scripture in the King James Version. And so I'm going to quote the King James Version first. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, 8 years ago, I ran across, now I know that this translation's been out more than just 8 years, but this is when, like, I had a spiritual awakening in 2015. I was raised in church my entire life. My dad got saved when I was just a little baby. And we were raised in church, and I knew these scriptures, and you know, they still resonate within my spirit. But it wasn't until just 8 years ago that I had this reawakening of who God was and what God means to us and what the word means to us. And so I ran across the New Living Translation, and it was a game changer for me. And so in the New Living Translation reads, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 reads, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Now, there is so much in this scripture that God has given me a 3-week study, and it's probably not even going to scratch the surface. There's probably a lot deeper that we can go with this. But I want to just take this and dissect it and see what God is saying. God wants us to live in perfect peace, the peace that passes all understanding. You know, and unfortunately in my life as a Christian, it's like it has been elusive. It's like, where's the peace? There's been lots of times where I've said, where's the peace that passes all understanding? Because I don't understand. I don't understand where it is. Where is it? And so so I've been on a journey. And like I said, I believe that this is time that God wants me to release this to you. And I believe that over the next few weeks, we will find a definite pathway to peace, starting with this scripture. So what I want to do is I want to use a kind of a cause and effect, or a this and a that type of teaching. And I want to just today, I want to focus on verse 6. And actually, I want to first focus on just the first phrase. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Okay, so that's where I want to go today. And so let's talk about don't worry. In the New King James Version and King James Version, it says, "Be anxious for nothing." And I did some study on that. I did a little bit of study on that. And the definition of anxious means full of mental distress or uneasiness because of fear or danger or misfortune. It also means greatly worried. Looking this word up in the Strong's Concordance, it says to have a distracting care, something that's going to distract. And so let's look at what Jesus says. So what I want to do is I want to focus on what Jesus says about worrying. So in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, let's go ahead and just see what he has to say. He says, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are?" In verse 27, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Let's set that on the shelf for a minute. When we worry, we are only hurting ourselves and opening the door to fear and anxiety. We give tormenting spirits permission to access our thought life. We're renting out our headspace to tormenting spirits. We're renting out, we're giving them permission to come in and torment us. We give them permission. It's like, why is this happening? Somewhere in our lives, we've given them permission by worrying, by fretting, by wondering. And if we let that go for too long, then we'll find ourselves in this constant spin, this constant turmoil, and this constant wondering of where God is. Because what that does is that breeds unbelief, and it makes us wonder, well, where is God? How come all this is happening? So now let's look back at Matthew 6, verse 28. He says, and why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? Don't you love Jesus? Jesus says this a lot. He says, where's your faith? Oh, ye of little faith. Why do you have such little faith? And he's not condemning. It's not condemnation. Because I did some study on this, because I'm like, why does he say that all the time? What it means is that your faith is small. Your faith is young. Your faith is really young. And we need to grow in our faith. And faith is like a muscle. And in order to make our muscles grow, we have to work them, okay? We want to get muscular, then we have to go to the gym, or we have to lift weights or do some work or whatever. Faith is like a muscle, so we have to build it. And so in order to build it, we have to push ourselves to believe. Yeah, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's working of our faith. That's working our faith and building that faith muscle. And so when he says, why do you have so little faith? Like I said, he's not saying it to condemn us. He's saying that to say, okay, it's time. It's time to grow. He's challenging us to grow. So then let's continue verse 31. He says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Let's stop right there. He says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. This is the way the world thinks, and we're supposed to be set apart. If we're followers of Christ, we're supposed to be set apart. Okay? And so we need to be responsible for ourselves and for what we're thinking. I cannot be responsible for what John thinks. I cannot be responsible for what my kids think. I can only be responsible for what I think and what's going on in my head. And so as I take on that responsibility and I say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you. And he says, these things dominate the thoughts of the unbeliever, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. And we'll talk about that later. So it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Amen. King James Version says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, all these worries, all these frets, fears, unbelief, whatever it is, all, not just this or that, or whatever, all these things, anything, whatever, it'll be added unto you. It comes when we seek the kingdom of God. So, like I said, John's been teaching on Sunday mornings. He's been preaching on Sunday mornings, but out of Romans, and it's been just this wonderful thing about expressing our authority and reminding us of our authority in Christ and reminding us of our position and where we sit in heavenly places. And when we live knowing that we are made righteous through Jesus, we can trust our heavenly Father to have everything under control. When we are secure in where we live, we are secure in our position in the kingdom, we can trust our Heavenly Father. we those doubts and those fears and those that questioning will go away. And so we'll talk more about that next week, about our authority there. And plus then also, well, he's teaching on Easter. But, you know, go back and listen to some of those messages again, because they are so, so, so rich. So verse 34, Matthew 6, verse 34 says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." We need to hear our Heavenly Father saying, take it one day at a time, and I've got this. Take it one day at a time, and I've got this. So let's go back to our text in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I have verse 6 right here. Let's go back to our text in Philippians that said in the King James versions, be anxious for nothing, okay? And so Matthew Henry's commentary defines anxious as a disquieting, tormenting thought which hurries the mind and disturbs our joy in God and hinders our hope in him. Isn't that powerful? Anxiety is a disquieting, tormenting thought that hurries the mind, causes, how many of you guys, you've had your mind just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. That's anxiety. That's being anxious. That's worry. A disquieting, tormenting thought that hurries the mind and disturbs our joy in God and hinders our hope in him. If we're worried about it, it's not from him. Anxiety, worry, a foreboding spirit, always anticipating bad things, these need to be set aside because they break our connection with our Heavenly Father. God has called us to be heavenly minded, not earthly centered. Had our eyes and our minds focused on him. Helmet of salvation, that's for a reason, so that our thoughts will come under the blood of Jesus, so that our thoughts will be saved. You know, our thoughts need to get saved. You know, sometimes we surrender our hearts and our spirits to Heavenly Father, but on a daily basis, some of us need to surrender our minds and our thinking. Before it even goes that direction, say, God, when we wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, sometimes you have those days where it's like, here it is. We got lots to do. Things are spinning. That's a time that you need to stop and close your eyes and say, Lord, I surrender my mind to you. So my heart, my mind, my thoughts, let them be of you and cast out anything else. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Colossians 3:6 says, think about the things of heaven, not of the things of earth. Anxious also means a distrustful, unbelieving thought. When we have distrustful, unbelieving thoughts, it opens the door for doubt and belief, doubt, unbelief, and ultimately causes us to question God and his goodness. We let it sit in our mind long enough. We let it stir long enough. We begin to question God. We begin to question his goodness. That takes us all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Am I like God? Does God really care about me? Same sin, same thing the same thought process that caused Adam and Eve to sin and fall away is the same thing that wants to take root in our minds when we allow worry and anxiety to take hold. We need to remember that God has promised to provide for those that are his. He will take care of us. Worry causes us to look inward for solutions instead of outwards. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. You just look at any child, any baby, any child. This is human nature. I can do it myself. Leave me alone, Owen. Owen does that all the time, little Owen. I can do it. I'm going to do it, you know. Babies, little kids, teenagers, adults. We're all that have those tendencies. We all have those tendencies. I can do it myself. And God says, okay, go ahead. Call me when you need me. And unfortunately, it's like, well, here we are, neck deep in mud and mire. And, okay, God, I really need you. If we could learn before we get there how to how to cast our cares upon him, how to trust him, how to live a life of peace. And that's what it is. You know, it's living a life of peace that we're looking for. Worry causes us to look inward instead of upward. Human nature in its simplest form is always centered on self. Too often we rely on ourselves to fix our problems, and that brings more worry and more stress. This is an automated response in our brain. We form neural pathways towards the negative. If we continue to go in that direction, we have these neural pathways in our brain that's our automatic response. Automatically, we'll respond that way. We let it go long enough, that's our automatic response. This can also cause physical problems in our lives. It can cause dizziness, fatigue, headaches, irritability, muscle tension, nausea, and that's only just a few of them. When I looked this up, it was like a paragraph like this. Of all of these different physical symptoms, we can literally, you can literally worry yourself to death. Literally. You can cause so much anxiety in your body that you make yourself sick. And that's not what Jesus has called us. Jesus has called us to live life more abundantly through him. He has called us to live a life of peace. He has called us to live under his glory. We live under an open heaven now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven before we get the promises of God. They are for us here, today, now. And if we can learn that, this simple concept of not worrying, if we can, and not worrying, not being anxious, and or learn how to deal with it when it comes. Because are we ever going to live a worry-free life? No. We live in this world. But we need to remember, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And understanding who we are and whose we are. Amen. So now let's go back to Matthew 6, verse 27. Jesus says, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Just stop and think about that. Close your eyes. Say it. Can all my worries add a single moment to my life? They can take it away. They can take years away. They can take days away. How many days have we spent, weeks have we spent, years have we spent pondering and worrying and planning and scheming and figuring, trying to figure things out on our own? Jesus says we need to stop. Just stop. Look upward. Set your mind on things above. Anxiety and worry bring with them the spirit of oppression and heaviness. However, God always provides a way of escape, and he was always available to help us. Amen. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 says, "The faithful love of God never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Before your feet hit the floor, say, God, I thank you for new mercy." New mercy. We don't have to worry. Just like the manna that he fed the children of Israel in the desert, he said, only take today what you need today. Don't try to keep it overnight, because what would happen? It would spoil and it would go, you know, turn to worms and everything. Why? Because they needed fresh manna. We have fresh mercies. Fresh mercies every day. We don't have to rely on yesterday's mercies. Fresh mercy every day. And we need to understand what that means. That means that God, we have fresh slate every day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. Amen. How are things going to happen? Have no idea, but he does. Amen. He does. Jesus paved the way for us to live a life free of worry. He gives us Holy Spirit to help us through our circumstances. Isaiah 61:3 says, Jesus came to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus has fulfilled this scripture so that we, what does it say? Jesus has fulfilled this scripture and so that we as joint heirs through Christ can walk in it as well. because of his sacrifice on the cross, because of the blood he shed, because he raised from the dead with new life. That new life is us. We are raised to new life with him. Amen. And we can walk in peace. Amen. So worry and anxiety give us an open invitation to pray. That's our spirits telling us it's time to pray. You feel yourself going back down into worry? That's your spirit telling you it's time to pray. It's time to pray. Look upward, not inward. So now let's look at part two. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Everything. Pray about everything. Now, don't sit at a restaurant and go, Lord, should I have bacon and eggs today? Should I have pancakes? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about confiding in our Heavenly Father on a daily basis over every situation that we may come across. God never gives us a command or a regulation without equipping us to carry it out. He says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. It's like, well, that sounds kind of simple. Yes, and it's powerful. You know, I think some of us wish that we had this big old formula, and nope. God says, nope, we don't need a formula. Don't worry, pray. You're going to worry, or if there's worry coming on, pray. Simple, this or that, done. Don't you wish it was that simple? 50,000 times a day, if we have to do it, then do it. That's what we need to do. All right. So the antidote to worry is prayer. Someone needs to write that on their bathroom mirror. The antidote to worry is prayer. Matthew 18, 19 through 20 says, again, I say to you that if two or three agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me. Jesus is in my heart. Holy Spirit is with me. The Father is always leaning in towards me and me. That's four. Let's go. Two or three are gathered together. They're always going to be there. He's there. There is power in prayer. The more agreement, the more power released. If you have trouble, if you need help, you feel yourself going down into the pits, call somebody. Text somebody. Say, grab somebody. Hey, will you pray with me? They may look at you strange at Safeway, but they might just pray with you. So let's think about this. We wholeheartedly believe in the power of a sinner's prayer, right? We wholeheartedly believe that when a sinner prays a prayer of forgiveness or a prayer of repentance, that they are saved. Is that what we believe? Yes? Amen. Yes. Amen. That's what we believe, okay? So we need to let that translate into our everyday life, okay? So when we believe that when we got saved, we said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want to live for you. And we believe that that prayer meant something and that prayer changed something in the spiritual realm. With as much faith as we believe that a sinner's prayer works every time, we need to have that much faith to believe that our prayers reach heaven. And I have scriptures to back it up. James 5. James 5 seems to show up a lot right here. This is just, never mind. Sorry. It's 1 John. I'm just a tad bit nervous. Not too bad. So James 5, 15 through 16. I'll do better next week. In the King James Version says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's the prayer of faith, okay? So then confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Not only healed physically, but healed spiritually, okay? Man, if you feel like you need to just confide in somebody and say, you know what, I'm having a hard time, and you're real with somebody. You know, when did people stop being real in church? For so long, we people have had to come to church and like put on a happy face, you know. One time we were fighting as a family in the vehicle on the way to church. And as we pulled up, Amy says, and she was probably maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8, smiles, everyone. Yep. But you know what? Church is a place where we should be family. And church is a place where we should say, hey, I need you to pray with me about this. And have it to be a safe place where, number one, people won't gossip about us when they walk away. Number two, that they will not look at us like we're just this, you know, horrible person, because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But church needs to be a place where our brothers and sisters can join together and to minister to one another and to be real with one another and to look, you know, pray with one another. That's why we have our ministry team up here every Sunday, is so that if you need prayer, come on up. We want to pray for you. So then if we look back at James chapter 5, confess your trespasses to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I've, you know, grown up with that scripture, King James Version, my whole life. But when I had this spiritual awakening a few years ago, and I started reading the New Living Translation, all of these older scriptures that were in my heart and in my spirit got a new twist to them. And so let's look at that last line in the New Living Translation. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, I don't know about you, but that was a game changer for me. And I says, I'm a righteous person, so my prayers have great power and they produce wonderful results. And it just, the faith in me just sprung up inside me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can live that. I can do that. I believe that. Once again, this is an open invitation to trust God in every situation. This happens when we stop worrying and start praying, really praying. Praying with faith, knowing that our Heavenly Father hears us and is working on our behalf. Your spirit is crying out to touch heaven. Sometimes we don't know what these feelings are inside of us. Sometimes we feel like we want to cry. Sometimes we feel like it's like we don't even know, we can't put words to our feelings. But especially if we know how to pray in tongues, if we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and we have that heavenly prayer language, we can get a hold of heaven and pray in tongues and just say, God, I don't know what, but we need to pray it through and not just say, okay, Lord, take care of the situation. Okay, nothing happened. And go on with our life. No, pray until something happens. You know, children's church, we had these little bracelets at one point in time, and P-U-S-H, push. Push those prayers. Pray until something happens. And we need to adopt that. Psalms 34:4, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all our fears. If we have to make a decision, are we going to believe God's word or what? Yes. Are we going to believe the word of God? And the word of God is true, then we're got to believe it. And it's an all or nothing type thing. We can't just pick and choose. Amen. God's word is God's word. Isaiah 65, am I too hard? He's saying yes. Isaiah 65:24, God says, I will answer them before they even call me, before they even call me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Wow, what a powerful scripture that one is. 1 John 5:14 in the New Living Translation says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Now remember, it has to line up under his will. You know, when we just do these random willy-nilly prayers, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something that pleases him, that is in his will. How many of you know a sound mind is within his will? Amen. How many of you know that fear and anxiety are not in his will? let's jump down, because as I was reviewing this just a little while ago, I realized I had the scripture in here twice, but one of them is in the New Living Translation, and then the other one is in the NIV. So 1 John 5, 14 and 15 in the NIV says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. These are common scriptures, sometimes almost too common, because it's like, oh yeah, well, I know that one. We used to sing a song to this scripture. We used to put this scripture to song. But it's like, we need to let this to get deep down into our spirits. We need to let it penetrate and meditate on these. Psalms 34, 17, and 18. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all of their troubles. All. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. How many times have we had that crushing? We need to take it to him. If we know that he hears us, then integrating prayer into every part of our lives should be the next step. We know that he hears us, okay? We'll get deeper into that, into everything else next week. But that's what you need to walk away with. God hears my prayers. Amen. Now what? Now we need to integrate it into our daily life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and I put this in several different translations because I just felt like it was necessary. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. The Amplified Bible version says, be unceasing in prayer. Pray perseveringly. New Living Translation says, never stop praying. And the Passion Translation, make your life a prayer. Amen. Oh, didn't know how to do that. Make your life a prayer. That's good stuff. So, how do we continuously pray? One way is by using the scripture, looking at the examples that we see in scripture. In Psalms 42 and 43 specifically, and then I'm sure it's in other places, we find David and the psalmist speaking to their soul. Davis gives us a great example of how we're supposed to pray by speaking to our soul. Psalms 43:5 says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in him. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Amen. In King James Version, it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? He talks to his soul. Why are you feeling this way? Don't you know who you are? And he tells his soul. He says, I put my hope in God. I will praise him, my Savior. I will praise my Savior. I will praise my God. This is what we're going to do. He's talking over his feelings. He's setting his feelings to the side and saying, soul, spirit, this is what we're going to do. We're going to line up with God's word. And if this is what God's word says, then this is what we're going to do. Now, I realize it's easy for me to get up here and say this 8 years down the road, but I have actually been able to apply this to my life. And do I walk in perfect peace? I wouldn't call it perfect peace, but I do walk a lot more peacefully than I ever did in my entire life. Like David, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord by praying, worshiping, and reading scripture. We can also use the Old Testament as a guide. Although God was talking about the law in these scriptures, it's important to understand that these were God's instructions for developing and maintaining a healthy, growing relationship with him. Okay? So even though I'm pulling a scripture out of Deuteronomy and it's talking about the law, it's still telling God's people how to not fall into sin, how to not fall into temptation, and how to stay focused, 100% focused. And so Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God and the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Don't just repeat them to yourself. How many of you guys know, if we want to gauge on how what your household looked like, we're just, you know, we look at kids. You look at their kids. In when I'm having some issues with certain children in my classroom, I always wonder what's going on in their home life, what's going on at home. And so repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you go to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your forehead as reminders, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know, we always think that, you know, we go through Pinterest or we go through Amazon or whatever, and the ladies, you know, might relate to this more than the men, but, you know, we have the little pictures with the scriptures on them or the little, pictures, yeah, with the scriptures all over them. That's biblical. Amen. That's biblical. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, you know, and, you know, whatever it is, we need to put them up in our house. Write them on our mirrors. It really blessed me the other day at prayer meeting. My dad was saying, I was looking at the scripture, and this is written on my mirror. And it kind of was kind of funny because growing up as a teenager, we would write stuff on the mirrors, and he would kind of yell at us a little bit. Oh, he didn't write it in lipstick. That's the difference. Write it on your mirrors so that when you're getting ready for work in the morning, you know those promises are there. Write them on note cards. Write them on post-it notes. You know, wherever you got to do to repeat and remind yourselves. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. I remember reading this scripture when I was a child. There's a lot of this stuff is coming back as I'm remembering things about my childhood. My parents, I want to honor them right now. They did well. If they did anything, they taught us the Bible. And we were reading this, and Dad was like, yeah. And I'm thinking, I'm walking down the road. We got to be thinking about God. And we're sitting on my bed, and I got to be thinking about God. And, you know, when I'm going to bed, when I'm getting up, when I'm having dinner, when I'm, you know, yeah, that's what it is. Yep, that's what it is. Have these scriptures on your heart. Why? Because that's what's going to lead us to righteousness. That's what's going to lead us to peace. That's what's going to keep our minds from going crazy when turmoil actually does come into our lives. Because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And so their hard times are going to come. And we need to know how to deal with them. And they don't blindside us. We're preparing our hearts for that, for those times. And so this all is a great practice to adopt, to keep our hearts and mind focused on Christ. We need to pour ourselves into his word continually until the word is a part of our spiritual DNA. We need to ask God to change our spiritual DNA. Oh, we're going through life and something happens. It's like, nope, okay, need a little bit more work. Father, you know, I pray. I surrender that to you. Change who I am. Change my thinking. Change my mindsets. Proverbs 7, 1 through 3 says, follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them to your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Scriptures are not don't do us any good sitting inside those pages of the Bible. But it's when we hide them in our heart. Your word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Your word have I hid in my heart so that I can live a peaceful life. I can live this life that I can have this peace that passes all understanding. So let's go back to doing that. Let's write note cards, write them on our mirrors, write them on our post-it notes to continually remind ourselves who God is in our lives. Amen? Amen? Amen, amen. So I've written a few prayers. I've written a prayer and a declaration for combating worry. And so if you have the notes, I would like for us to, I would like for us to read this together. Would that be okay? Okay. So let's start off. Heavenly Father, how precious is your unfailing love. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. I thank you that you are watching over me continually. I know that as I seek your kingdom, the fruit of your spirit will be manifested within me. Help me to cast my cares upon you and to continually pray and communicate with you about any stress, worry, and anxiety that I may experience. Thank you, Father, for being my guide. And as I seek you, I know that you will fill me more and more with your abundant love. I receive that love and peace right now in Jesus' name. And let's make this declaration. I declare that I will walk in the goodness of God from this point on. Where I am weak, he has made me strong, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I set aside anything that would come between me and my relationship with my Heavenly Father, and I fully cast my cares upon him. I will walk in full confidence that my Father in heaven loves me and takes care of me. My future is in his hands. I fully trust him and I refuse to worry. Amen. Write that on your mirror. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray over you tonight before we go. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for everything that you've spoken to our hearts today. Father God, that I pray that these seeds of righteousness would just be buried deep, deep, deep within our hearts, that they would not be stolen. I bind the enemy right now that would try to steal this seed, and I rebuke you and I cast you down right now. And God, Father God, I just thank you, God, that this seed is going to grow and your revelation will continue to sprout into the hearts of your people. I pray that you go with us tonight. Keep us safe. Keep us in your care, God. And we just give you all praise and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks for coming. I stayed within the time frame. Yes, I'm so happy. And God bless you. And next week, we're going to talk about something else.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.